You know what I get blessed at when I'm standing up here and I see couples reading off the same hymnal together, singing the same. It is so awesome to see that. It's such a blessing. Okay, Sunday morning humor. There was this bear hunter, and he was walking through the forest looking for a bear. So he finally found one, and he got his gun ready. He lowered his sights, exhaled, and began to squeeze the trigger when the bear suddenly turned around and said, "Excuse me, but isn't it better to talk than to shoot?" Well, the hunter, trying to recover from the fact that this animal could talk to him, was speechless. So the bear continued the conversation. "Can't we negotiate this matter? What is it that you really want? What is it you're looking for?" said the bear. "Well," the hunter says, "I'm looking for a fur coat." The bear said, "Well, I'm looking for a full stomach." "Let's have a discussion," said the bear, "and perhaps we can compromise." "All right," said the hunter. So the two disappeared into the forest to discuss the situation. And a while later, the bear came out of the forest alone. Apparently, the negotiations were successful because everyone got what they wanted. The bear got a full stomach, and the hunter got his fur coat. Yeah, So who do you think came out ahead on that little story? Yeah, the big bad bear. Well, guess what? The same is true when you try to strike a deal with the devil. And you go, "Well, wait a minute, Bonnie, we were supposed to talk about the armor of God." We are. I'm getting there. So, in other words, when we strike a deal with the devil, what I mean by that is sometimes we try to do it in our strength, or we do it in our own way or in our own time. We try to deal with the matter instead of going to God first. But we know Satan is wicked, cunning, sly. He's evil. He's perfected his gift for quite a long length of time, right? I mean, after all, he's got a craft of being deceptive. He lies. He cheats. He steals. He puts fear in you. He does everything he can that's opposite of what God has for us. He knows he can't bring a believer down in one fell swoop. So what does he do? He dismantles a believer a little bit at a time. Because he knows that he makes it look too obvious, the believer's just going to stand there and laugh in his face. But if he's sly about it, if he's deceitful, if he does it a little bit at a time, he can get a lot further. You know, they always say less is more or more is less or whatever that saying is. So my saying this morning is this. We have to suit up because Satan isn't going to let up ever. While we're standing here on this earth, he is never going to let up. And what I mean, of course, by suit up is by putting on the armor of God. Now, we did talk in Ephesians that in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, is the full armor of God, the six pieces of armor, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, and we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I want to read something, and I have a few minutes before I come, and so as I was going through my notes, something stuck out at me, something that I had read quite a while back on a daily bread devotional Bible. And it's called Emergency Kit. And what it talks about, it tells us a true story about this couple who's going home at night. And it's a highway, but it's a rural highway. It's not very busy. And, of course, what happens? But they hit a deer. A deer just damaged their car enough that they could not drive it any further. So the couple gets out, and the guy has a flashlight, and he's trying to see how much damage is done. And he forgets the fact that years ago he had stuck an emergency kit in his glove box. He'd forgotten about it. So he's out there trying to you know, use what little light he has to figure out how much damage there is. But his wife remembered that there was an emergency kit in the car. So she went back, and the emergency kit had a flare in it and had a big, huge flashlight in it, and it had all the things that they needed to take, you know, to keep them safe so if anything else, you know, any other traffic came along. And then it goes on to say this and this, and I thought this quite interesting. It says, after hitting a deer on a dark rural highway, our van was completely destroyed. But then again, as I said, he says, my wife opened the emergency kit, set out a reflecting warning marker, and then turned on a bright flashlight. And then she, and much to my surprise, later we talked about how a crisis can cause us to forget the resources that we have available to us when we're in the moment. And when I read that, it's just, isn't it typical that when we go through a trial or a situation or a loss in our life or a season in our life, we forget that we have a resource that we can go to, and that is the armor of God. God made this available, this resource available to us, so that it can help us get through this season, get through this trial, get through this temptation, get through this loss that we are going through. So it goes on to say here, it says Paul, I like it, it says Paul put on, Paul urged the Ephesians to put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. This protective covering includes truth, righteousness, readiness, faith, salvation, and prayer. These spiritual resources, that's what we've got to realize. We're automatically, when something happens, the first thing we want to do is find something physical to take care of it. When the first thing we need to do is go to our spiritual resources, because that's where the foundation is that helps bring in the physical resources that we need. First, we go to the spiritual, which will bring in the physical resources that we need. Just like today when we prayed for the people of Haiti and we prayed for the people of Afghanistan and the East Coast and Tennessee. We prayed because that's where the first effects that's where the resources start, is in the spirit realm. And we talked about that last week. And then it says, although these spiritual resources guard us each day, we need to remember them when disaster strikes and the enemy tries to undermine our confidence in God's love and God's care for us. And that's the first thing that he tries to do, is he tries to undermine or tell us God doesn't love you, or this would not have happened, or you did something that this happened to you. It's a lie. We know it's a lie. Or somebody, even a fellow brother or sister in the Lord said, what did you do, my dear, that this happened to you? Isn't that what they did to Job? That's exactly what his friends did to Job. What did you do, Job, that this came upon you? And lastly, God provides the armor, but we must put it on. We have to put it on. The thing is this, we forget about it. And I talked last week about the fact that when we put it on, we're to never take it off. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was putting it on every day. You don't have to. Once it's on, it stays on. So, like I said last week, we're going to touch a little bit on the ones we did last week, very briefly. We talked about the policeman who needs a backup. Well, we do too. Spiritually, we need a backup as well, and that's what the armor is for us to use as a backup. We talked about the sons of Sceva who tried to cast a demon out of a man, and they did it on their own strength, and what happened? The demon overpowered them. So in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapon of our warfare is not physical or carnal, but it's spiritual, and it destroys those strongholds. So when we pray today for these people, we prayed for protection, we prayed for wisdom, we prayed for the materials that are needed, we prayed for all of these things We tried to cover all the bases. But the thing is, do we believe what we're praying? And if we do, because we've been given the faith, and if we've prayed that, we have to stand on that. You can't go back and say a week later, well, you know, I don't really see where there's been a big change to help these people in Afghanistan. No, you just got to keep saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've heard our prayers. Not just our prayers, but there's thousands and thousands and thousands of believers that are praying the same prayer this morning that we are praying. So God hears our prayers, and he's going to answer them. So the first one, the belt of truth, being truthful before God. That's what the belt of truth is. If you don't have the belt of truth, the rest of the armor isn't going to matter because you're not trusting God in it. And you're not being truthful with God. So when you trust him and you believe in him, that's when the armor is going to work. So the belt, the Roman soldiers, they hold the armor like their sword, and it adjusts or supports their breastplate that they wear. And it's attached, their shield is attached to that belt as well. But the belt of truth that we wear, that is our spiritual, that supports the rest of our spiritual armor that we have. Then we go on to the sword of the Spirit, which we talked about it being the Word of God. This part of the spiritual armor is both, I said, defensive and offensive. And what I mean by that is defensive, it protects us. The Word of God protects us, but it not only does that, it counterattacks. We can use it as a counterattack. We can use it to stand when we see something that, you know, we're dealing with that we might be in fear about, something that we're in fear about. So we use it as I'm standing and I'm going to continue standing. I'm going to be firm in this. I'm going to believe that God's got his hand on this. So it's also not only a defensive but an offensive type of tool. Roman soldiers can have a breastplate, a helmet, and a shield. But without that sword, if the enemy sees them, who's going to get attacked first? That person without the sword. They're going to be the first ones to be hit. Same with us. If we don't have the word in us, the sword of the Spirit, where is Satan going to attack? He's going to attack us first. Those that don't have the sword. Jesus showed us how to use the sword. He said it is written when Satan tried to tempt him. He said it is written. He's showing us that's how we have to do it. If Jesus had to do it, certainly we have to do it as well. And then I talked about D.L. Moody, and I love that. Sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep you from sin. So, the one we talked about last week was the helmet of salvation. The helmet, what? Covers the head. Covers the brain. The mind. And because we know that it protects our mind, because where does the spirit battle first begin? In our minds, in our thoughts, in our imaginations. So we really want to guard our minds, guard our attitudes, guard our emotions, guard our, you know, temptations to, you know, look at pornography or, you know, wanting certain things because the Joneses next door have got it. You know, we have to guard ourselves with that type of thing. So we're going to move on from there, and we're going to go with the shield of faith. The spiritual attacks come when you're attempted to do something great for God, or you're wanting to share the gospel with someone or share your faith. That's going to get Satan's attention. And that's when you're going to find that you're going to want to use the shield of faith. You're going to need it, because when you start stepping out and serving God, Satan's going to get in right in there. The other day, I was listening to a message on patience. It was Friday morning exactly. I know exactly what day it was, because it was also the day that I had to go to the DMV and change my address on my license. And there was a line outside. And, of course, I'm standing there and I'm saying, just remember, you read that this morning. Just remember. And so I'm out there kind of praying, you know, to myself and everything. And so, okay, so our group gets to go inside now from outside. I get in there and there's five of us. Now the lady says at the counter, anybody that's got a sticker can come up all and get taken care of. And I'm going, I don't I'm a sticker, or I got to still sit here. So all of them got to go up and get theirs taken care of. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And finally it was my turn after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and starts taking care of me and getting my address. And this gentleman, who apparently had been there earlier, had forgotten something and came back. Well, the guy that was taking care of me had taken care of him. And since he was an older gentleman, he wanted to take care of him. So needless to say, you know, I had to practice a little more patience. So, but, you know, it was just one of those days. So, but then again, our shield of faith also is when we want to sit down and read scripture, or we want to study the word, or we want to hear the word, because, you know, Satan doesn't care if you're watching, you know, on your website, seeing all this other stuff. He doesn't care if you're reading any other books. He doesn't care if you're watching any other program. But the moment you start watching something that's going to strengthen your faith, you're going to grow more in the Lord, get closer to the Lord, you've got his attention. You've got his attention, and he's going to do whatever he can. But then that's when you've got to use your shield of faith. Example of using the shield of faith, let's say you have a financial crisis. The first thing you're going to do is look for scriptures that deal with finances. An example of that is Philippians 4:19. My God supplies all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Not according to my riches, according to his. You stand upon that. You don't go by what you see. You don't go by what you hear. You don't go by how you feel. You go by the promise that God says, I will meet your needs. You don't bend from that. You don't fluctuate from that. You don't let doubt come in. You don't let anything get in the way. And every time it does, what you do is you just confess that. Every time you lift up that word and say that out loud, you're lifting up your shield of faith and going, oh, no. No doubts, you're on the other side of the shield here. You're not going to bother me. I'm sorry. But that's the way it is. I'm standing on the word. You're using your armor. Our faith can guard us in trials in the same way the shield does in other battles, such as our finances. When we deal with doubt or doubt creeps in, our belief, our faith gets questioned. Then we have to depend on Christ, and that's when we know that he is going to protect us. Again, there's your shield going up. And we know that he's going to guard us when doubt and fear try to step in. We understand firm, we can stand firm in knowing that what we believe, in addition, our faith can protect us when we experience anxiety and fear. Now, the shield of faith. When you think of a shield, what do you think of? I had to laugh when they gave this example. They said, how about, do you think of the star-spangled shield that Captain America holds? I've never seen that one. Has anybody ever seen that one? Captain America, and he must have had a big one. Or just a regular, like when you see, you know, the Romans fight they have these big round shields. But when Paul talks about a shield, the imagery that Paul wants us to take in our heads is this. The Roman shield that they had was one that protected their whole body. It wasn't just a round little dinky penny thing. These things probably weighed, you know, 20, 30 pounds, these shields. And yet they still had to use the sword. They had to carry the shield and use the sword. So, plus the breastplate and, you know, all that other stuff that weighed them down. But the reason they had that is because the enemy, when they would come against Rome, they would use fiery arrows to shoot at them. So they had to use something that totally covered their body. So our shield of faith, likewise, has to cover the most vulnerable parts of us, and especially that would be our hearts. This heavy shield can withstand an impact of fiery blows from the devil. This shield of faith. Just like the shield that the Romans used against the fiery darts that came against them. And when I say fiery darts as for this day, I'm talking about what? We all know I'm talking about doubt, unbelief, fear, unforgiveness, You know, there's so many fiery darts that come at us. Impatienceness, as I dealt with Friday. Satan's objective is to stop our spiritual growth. And when he sees that our guard is down, he knows that's the best time to attack you. And when he attacks you, he knows that if you don't have your armor on, he's going to knock you down a few slats. You're not moving up, you're moving backwards. You're not moving forwards. So faith can quench these flaming arrows that come at us. So that's why it's so important that we realize that we need to use the shield of faith. So we need to take up the shield of faith to protect ourselves from the assaults. When we put on the armor of God in these verses, it tells us to take up the shield of faith, meaning we hold on to our faith like a shield. We have to deliberately choose. It's always going to be a choice. We're always going to get a choice in the matter. Are we going to, when something hits us that's unexpected, what are we going to do? Are we going to let it overwhelm us, overtake us? Or are we going to do what the word says? We've got a choice in this circumstance. Are we going to take the shield of faith? Are we going to take the full armor of God? Are we going to apply it to this situation? Or are we going to let it take over us and our emotions? Can we dwell on our problems, or do we confess the solution, which is the word of God? Even when we find a passage of scripture that troubles us, then we choose to hold on to our faith. And the reason I share this, I'm going to say that again because I have a story to share with you this morning. It says, even when we find a passage of scripture that troubles us, that we maybe don't understand, then we choose to hold on to faith. We all know Billy Graham. Billy Graham was a renowned American evangelist. But he experienced something, and I want to share this with you. He once described his struggle to accept the Bible as completely true. One night, while walking along in the moonlight at a retreat center in San Bernardino, he dropped to his knees and placed the Bible on a tree trunk nearby, able only to stutter this prayer: "Oh God, there are so many things in this book I do not understand." It was right there, right then, by confessing his confusion, Billy Graham said, "The Holy Spirit finally freed me to say it. Father, I am going to accept this as your word by faith." And that's another thing that Satan tries to get into our stronghold with us. How many of us have come across people that you try to share the word with them, and they'll totally, you know, they've got it down. They've, you know, somebody's maybe done it before where they've tried to share the gospel, and this person's got it down where they put that wall up. But the way they put the wall up is this: "You mean to tell me you think that the word, all the words in the Bible are true? Don't you think Jonah, I mean, after all, Jonah and the whale, come on, he spewed him out, really? That's just a story. Or what about those parables, you know?" And they try to put doubt into you. But what's happening there is Satan's just working through them to try to feed doubt and get you questioning what you're doing, what you're saying. Then it goes on to say, again, he says, "Father, I am going to accept this as thy word by faith." He said when he stood up, Billy Graham, he still had questions. He said, "I still had questions," but he said, "I knew a spiritual battle in my soul had been fought and won." Now get this. He's been fighting this. Is the Bible all true? He's probably been fighting this thought, this battle in his spirit for a while. But couldn't go before the Lord with it. Didn't know how to go to the Lord with it. Didn't know, he couldn't put it into words. Maybe it was so caught up in it, he just couldn't figure out where his emotions were with all of it. Or maybe it was the fact that he couldn't really pinpoint what the uneasiness that he was dealing with. But finally he says, Father, I am going to accept this as thy word by faith. And that's the thing we have to do. As I said earlier, there's going to be scriptures that we're like going, whoa, where did that come from? And what does that mean? We don't understand all of it. We'll never understand all of it while we're here. None of us. And the more we study it, the more we find we don't know. But the thing is this. The bottom line is it's God's word. And we're going to trust it. We're going to confess it. We're going to walk it. We're going to believe it. We're going to live it. That's what we're going to do. That's faith. That's the sword of the Spirit. Jeremiah, a young prophet, fought the spiritual battles as well. Yet he consistently sought answers in Scripture. And in Jeremiah 15, it says, when your words came to me, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Now I'm going to go through these last two very quickly because we're getting short in time. Breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians 6:14. Paul writes, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. In those days, the Roman soldiers wore the breastplate, again, to protect those vital organs, because if you didn't have that breastplate on, the enemy's coming at you, because they know you're an easy target, because it's the first place they're going to hit. The Christian breastplate of righteousness means that he or she stands righteous before God when you put your faith in Christ. By that faith, you know you're justified. You're justified that God has forgiven you of all your sins. So you have that breastplate of righteousness. God has placed a righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, in your account. It's not your righteousness that's brought you to have fellowship with the Lord. It's the righteousness of Christ that brings you to the fellowship and right standing with God. But when Satan comes and tells you you're not worthy, you just turn around and say, oh no, Jesus paid a price that he did not owe for a debt that I could never pay. He took my place. You can take your lies and be off with you. Now the last one, shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel shoes allow us to gain ground in spiritual battle marching forward. Remember when I talked about when the Romans had their shoes? They had spikes on those shoes. Because when they started to stand and fight with someone with their shield and their sword, their feet were planted. There was no going back. It was only going forward. And there was no way that person that was coming at them, because of the spikes that were in the ground, there was no moving backwards. It was either you lose your life or you move forward. That's what our job here is today, to have shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When we bring the good news of Jesus to others, in effect, we are invading the enemy's camp, the enemy's territory. And it says in Romans 10 that we are all called to preach the gospel. We are all called to step out, step forward, move forward, and preach the gospel. So we are to be ready and alert, looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Through Jesus' death on Calvary, he stripped Satan of his armor. Jesus took away the armor of Satan. He doesn't have a foothold unless we give it to him. So in Proverbs 18, if you don't take any other scripture home with you today, take this one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what are we going to preach? Are we going to preach the situation, how bad it is? Are we going to talk about the situation, the circumstances, and how bad it is? Or are we going to preach and confess and stand on God's promise that he said he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, and that when we come to him, He hears us. He will answer us. It may not be in our time. He's never late. He's always on time. It may not be in the way we think it should be. But in time, if it is important to us, when we come before the Lord and we still have that question, I'm sure he will give us the answer. But when we come there and we're before Jesus, I think that the last thing we're going to think about is all those questions that we have today. We're going to be so thankful that we're before the Lord Jesus, that all those things will just not matter anymore. Father, we thank you that you've given us the armor of God. It's a resource that you've given us. Father, help us by the fact that you've allowed the Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us. Holy Spirit, remind us of this resource, because sometimes we get so engulfed in what is going on at the moment. So Holy Spirit, remind us of the resource that we have and show us how Jesus did it. Remind us how Jesus did it, and teach us so that we can overcome. Show us how to use the armor in every way, every day. Father, thank you that as we walk it, we talk it, it's because we're suited up with the armor of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.